Hello, I'm Will Shires and this is Talking Trucks. Truckfest is celebrating its 40th anniversary this year, and coincidentally, this will be the last time that the main event will be held at the East of England Showground. In this episode, I catch up with Colin Ward and Bob Limming from Live Promotion Events, who are the original founders of Truckfest. The podcast was recorded at the Lincoln Showground, which as of 2024 will be Truckfest's new home. So Bob and Colin, thank you very much for joining me.
Pleasure.
First of all, congratulations. 40 years of Truckfest. That is quite some achievement. Start at the beginning.
Yep.
Who came up with the idea? Colin. When did you come up with the idea? And how did it come about?
Well, there wasn't a trucking festival in the UK. And my brother, he was an active trucker.
Okay.
You know, and my family were, in fact, all from a haulage business. So were Bob's. And we were just sitting around looking at some foreign magazines at the time on American trucks. And we started saying, wouldn't it be great if there was an event for truck drivers and owner drivers and their families? You start thinking, well, why hasn't anyone done this in the past? Huge financial risk. Would it be worth doing? Why are we doing it? All those sort of things. And really, to start with, it was done for the drivers and the industry as we knew it. Really from this whim of an idea and a desire to just create something. Since we've created it, 40 years ago, clearly we've been copied, and there are one or two others around now, both in the UK and abroad. But we're so proud of the Truckfest brand.
Yeah.
It's the original concept, the original festival. And the fact that we've expanded right the way throughout the UK. And from now, we're looking at where we don't cover in the UK. And for next year, going into Wales, which will make, I think it's 9 Truckfests then, isn't it, Bob?
Yeah.
9.
Yeah, it's strange, really, because we had done a very large event for Austin Rover. Funnily enough, at Donington Park. It was something that we were contracted in to do. Prior to that, we'd been a marketing services company for breweries, for example, for JPS, we'd worked for them. And we knew that the landscape was changing. We did the huge event for Austin Rover. We knew that budget was only going to come our way once. So it was, where do we go from here? And as Colin said, you know, he had the idea with his brother, we worked on it together. I think I've told you before, Will, what we actually did, we actually couldn't afford national advertising at the time. So what we actually did was went out and bought ourselves some CB radios and started talking about the event.
Fantastic.
So viral marketing, if you like. We were out putting posters up everywhere. The first event was at Newark, which lots of people don't know. But
no,
it was.
I didn't. I assumed all 40 had been at Peterborough.
No, the very, very first one was at Newark. It was held at an Easter time. We weren't allowed to go into the actual showground itself. We had to stick to the runways. And it was held at an Easter time, and it snowed the night before.
Oh, no.
And we thought, oh, dear. We had one truck distributor, which was Mer Trucks. We had Celebrity, which was Lewis Collins from The Professional.
Fantastic.
Sheila Tracy, who was at that time doing a trucker spot on BBC Radio 2. 300 Trucks, one or two other industry-related stands. That was it. And I think it's safe to say, Colin, that when we saw the snow when we arrived the next morning, yeah, we thought, oh dear.
We thought, what on earth made us think of this?
Yeah.
That's the house gone, I think, is the first thing I thought of.
Yeah.
Because it was a huge financial gamble. Because when you do something new, it's always going to be a gamble. And seeing the weather on top of it, really, that was the final straw. But the drivers and everyone all turned up. And it was a huge success.
Yeah.
And from there, we were able to build on it. And that's the thing, that The one thing is, you see, both Bob and I have fond memories, even as kids, you know, going out with our parents, with my dad as a driver. We were brought up in that driving environment. We're not promoters that have really said, oh, look, let's do a trucking festival. We were brought up, both of us were brought up in strong haulage families. Bob often recalls to me how he was going down to the markets in London with his dad. And I can remember way, way before even tippers were so popular, going to the sugar beet factory with my own father. And it was a great thrill for us with the kids to sit with Dad. He would have a truckload of, a lorry load, as we would call them then, of course, of sugar beet, and it would all be washed off. These huge jets of water would hit the truck, and sugar beet would go everywhere. And for us kids, that was a great thrill.
Yeah.
And a journey out of the area on the passenger seat in those days, absolutely wonderful. That's why, like today, when we saw some of these wonderful classic trucks here, the Volvos, it takes me back to that sort of period in time, fabulous time. Yeah. So those early days were very, very important in imprinting on us the need to actually do something for the drivers and do something for the people. Everyone, it's not just the drivers, people involved in the industry. And that's how it's grown. Truckfest has grown now so that, what we hope is that when somebody comes along, if they're involved in the industry, they can bring their family along and enjoy it. And Dad can say, look, this is what I do for a living, and bring the kids along and enjoy the whole atmosphere of it. The most important thing is we're all getting older and we need more drivers. So we really do hope that youngsters come along as well to the festivals. Yeah. And they're at Truckfest and say, do you know what? I want to be here in 20, 30 years' time. I would like to be able to drive a truck. So we hope that we stimulate the desire for the kids to actually take up truck driving.
Yeah. I mean, the trucks now are so different from the ones that Dad used to drive.
Of course.
You know, he used to put blankets on the engine to keep warm. It's just completely different. I mean, there was no communication in them in those days. There wasn't even a radio, I remember.
You wouldn't be able to hear it if there was.
No. Absolutely. So it's completely different now. I mean, some of the trucks that we see at Truckfest, and I look in, and they're fantastic.
Yeah.
And all the manufacturers now produce fantastic vehicles. And, you know, Truckfest is all about not just our enthusiasm, but everybody else's. I think I told you the story, Will, that the other year I was coming out of the main arena, I'd been doing some commentary, and I got a tap on the shoulder, and somebody said to me, you're Bob from Truckfest, aren't you? I said, I am. And I thought, oh, there's a complaint on the way. But he said, I just want to introduce you to my father. This is my father, this is my son, and this is my grandson. And we've never missed a truck fest. It's part of our family's year. And actually, I say this, and I'm being very, very honest, it brought a tear to my eyes, because I know what it means to people.
Yeah.
I know what it meant to both Colin's brother, Derek, just prior to him passing. He was at truck fest 2 or 3 years ago, before dying. I remember what it meant to my father. My father used to come along to Truckfest with such pride. Towards the latter end, he wasn't able to get around in the way that he had before. So what used to happen, rather than him coming to the event, which is always chock-a-block, I used to pick him up from the hotel. I used to put him in a golf buggy. And then what we used to do, we used to drive around the trucks, especially the vintage trucks, and we'd talk about them. And, you know, that gave me a lot of pride. I know it gave Colin a lot of pride with his brother. And it means so much to people. There are people that actually come to Truckfest that come with their trucks. The showcases now are a big part of Truckfest, where companies, let's say Knights of Old, for example, they'll come along, they will have a stand, they'll invite their customers. It'll be a little bit of a holiday for their drivers, you know. It's good times, somewhere to relax. And some of them never ever get to the main arena. They're busy on their stand, polishing their trucks.
Yeah.
You've wandered around Truckfest.
I've been going since the early 90s.
Yeah. Ooh. There you go. There you Man go. And boy.
Yeah.
Do you know, well, one of the things that I was saying about how both Bob and I were brought up as kids, you know, in the trucking industry, it's always there in your blood. And my wife will find it quite strange sometimes. No, she's used to it now. I can be driving down the A1 and I'll see a really nice... It happened yesterday. We were driving, coming down the A1, and a truck, it was a tanker, on the right-hand side came by us. And I was desperate to get the name of the tanker because I like the look of the unit on the front. It had got a mural on it of the Majesty the Queen. I couldn't get by to get that the name of it. And you like that all the time. I can be driving and I'll see a truck somewhere and I'll say, you know, I've got to go and get a photograph of that. I've got to find out who owns that truck. And you get back into the office or at home and you try and trace them. And the love of trucking generally is there. No matter, you can't get rid of it. It's there. I'd love to do, because I really would like to have, like, you know, like the Oscars with Truckfest. I'd like to take Truckfest, I mean, don't laugh, but I'd like to take Truckfest to somewhere like the Tate Gallery and pick out some of the finest artwork trucks you can find and really, you know, say, this is Truckfest, this is what we're about, and these are the wonderful trucks that are on the roads today. Because they're going to be, I think they're not only going to be admired, they're going to be valued by not just by the operators, but by the public as well. Because we don't just rely on them for getting the stuff from A to B. Do you know, it must be a lonely life being a driver at times. And I sometimes go into the transport cafes and stuff like that and think, you know, there's not enough investment in that world for our industry.
No, there certainly isn't.
And do you know, the other day, sorry to cut across, the other day, there's a programme on about getting more females into driving, which I'm all for, but there's no facilities. If my granddaughter decided she wanted to go into becoming a female truck driver, I'd love her to, but I'd worry about the facilities that are there for female drivers at the moment. There's got to be major reinvestment by the big operators that put facilities there. But anyway, I'm drifting away. It's the love of trucking, really, that's in our blood.
I think I told you, Will, that we not only do the Truckfest events, I mean, this year there are 8 of them, we do all sorts of other things, all sorts of other automotive events, we do concerts. But my first love is Truckfest. I love Truckfest. Mm-hmm. Possibly because I helped create it, but I think it's because of the passion that I see at Truckfest. When you see a family arrive with their trucks, and you see them setting up camp, and then you see them having their barbecue, and you see them enjoying themselves, that gives me real pleasure.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter how many we do. After a truck fest, there's nothing worse than driving around the site thinking, oh, it's all over. You know, when's the next one? When's the next one? So, and that desire there, and you know, that love of it is there. You can't get rid of it. And it's a fantastic buzz.
Yeah.
And another buzz is when we go around a truck fest and we find we've got more trucks than we've ever had. Truckfest Peterborough this year, we're full. We were full with trucks. Just January. After Christmas, January.
Really? So how many would that be then?
3,000.
3,000 trucks. Just after January, and we have to close the door. And I'd love to get up to 5,000. Hopefully, with our new site at Lincoln, we've got more area here, so hopefully we can actually start accepting more trucks, because that's what it's about. You know, we do surveys, and the surveys we ask the public that come in, why are you here? What have you come? And the big thing that comes out every time, we're here for the trucks. We also ask them, are you connected with the industry in any way? And it's surprising how many people have a relative that's in the industry in one way, shape or another.
Yeah.
You know, but I can't believe that we've been doing it 40 years. And Bob, out of interest, Bob, if we do 8 a year, my God, we've done a few hundred Truck Fests, haven't we?
Yeah.
Lovely, though.
So one of the things Truck Fest is famous for is its celebrities.
Yeah.
And you just mentioned who were at the first one. In 40 years, who? I want both of you to choose your favourite celebrity.
Funnily enough, he ended up being disgraced, but Michael Barrymore was probably the most popular of his time.
Really?
And Noel Edmonds. You know, they were both A-listers. Yeah. The biggest problem now is that it's like radio. Everything has been diluted because there's so many channels now. Yeah. It doesn't mean the same. Probably Ant and Dec pull in the largest audiences now. Funnily enough, they did Truck Fest.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's as far as celebrities are concerned, we've had so many. I think one of the funniest ones for me, and I have got a photograph of Hair Flick, was having the cast from Hello, Hello.
Uh-huh, okay.
That was just absurd, really.
Yeah.
And we had Renee and Yvette and Hair Flick, and we had somebody pick them up in the main arena in a German vehicle.
Yeah.
It was just outrageous. Mr. Britas.
Yeah, from the Britas Empire.
All of those sort of people, and the cast from Bread. What about you, Colin?
Well, for me, I mean, you've mentioned quite a few that sort of were really special to me, but take that. I can't believe it.
Yeah.
That now they are megastars. At the time, they'd just started on their career, and one of our sponsors wanted a pop group there to entertain the families, and we were offered Take That. In fact, we got the name wrong to start with because we thought they were called Take This. And then the character in the office would say, it's not Take This, it's Take That. And we put them on.
It's this or that.
Anyway. It's this or that. And every time Take That on television, or Gary Barlow, my family have to listen to me say, they were at Truck Fest first. And that is special, you know, to think that was so important. But yeah, I should say Take That. Noel Edmonds, he did a lot with us. He was, at the time, he was mega television star, and he did an awful lot with us. And as Bob said, Michael Barrymore disgraced himself, of course, but at the time
he'd got real audience
pull.
You know, we've had so many. In fact, I wish I'd kept more of a diary than I have.
Yeah.
I remember you telling me once about Barry from EastEnders. You said he was really good fun, and he was even directing the cars in the car park, wasn't he?
Absolutely.
He was just up for anything.
Yeah.
I mean, this is before he was in extras. It's just good fun.
Yeah. But of course, things are moving.
We used to have him in the Truck Fest merchandise shop.
Absolutely. Oh, really?
Yeah. Barry from EastEnders, yeah. But you see, again, Bob said there that, you know, television's moved on a bit. Now we have things like Ice Road Truckers. And that in itself has developed and created genuine driving stars.
Yeah. You've been on the other
show. Well, I was about to say, my favourite, without a doubt, was Lisa Kelly, and you guys fixed it for me to actually go to Alaska and
please ride
river.
So, you know,
this year we've got Outback Truckers.
Outback Truckers, and we've got Ice Road Truckers. We've got Todd.
Yeah.
And Todd, at the moment, is there. Todd will start getting mixed in with the drivers and participants in general and walking around. Everyone knows him, you know. So the celebrity thing has moved on a little bit. But, yeah, so what a history.
We've also made so many good friends in the industry. I mean, let me say Alistair Valance, for example, Transport News.
Yeah.
Well, When we went up to do Truck Fest Scotland for the first time, which would be about 36 years ago, we made a call on Alistair Valance, and he was up for it straight away. Now he not only sponsors or media partner for Truck Fest Scotland, but also for the Northern events, Truck Fest Northwest, Truck Fest Northeast, which is great. And last year, when the Malcolm Group was celebrating their 100th anniversary, and I was looking for somebody to present in the main arena with Andrew Malcolm. I mean, it was a fantastic display that he put in from his heritage centre.
I know.
I will tell you something funny in a second. Alistair presented it, and it was fantastic. And we've worked with him for so long, and it's always a pleasure to have him there. There is a funny bit to this, and I'm sure Andrew Morgan won't mind, well, he might do. But anyway, on his way out in the vintage, out of the main arena, it ran out of fuel.
Oh, no.
And somebody actually went up to him and said, do you want £5 to get some gas? But Andrew Malcolm, fantastic company. You know, they always support Truckfest, even down in the south as well. And it's that sort of company, WS. Yeah. You know, they're really passionate about what they do, and they add to Truckfest. Everybody adds to Truckfest. It isn't just us.
When did Commercial Motor get involved?
I think it was like year 4 or 5, because there was trucking, first of all, wasn't there?
Yeah.
Am I not allowed to say that?
No, you can.
Trucking, as it was then.
I thought it was early. I thought it was like 84, 85 Commercial Motor.
Yeah, because the then editor, your predecessor, Ian Sheriff, wasn't particularly enamoured with Truckfest, I don't think.
We converted in the end, didn't we?
But it moved on. There was then Alan Wynne that came in as editor, wasn't there?
Past editor.
And then Brian Weatherly, Weatherly was always great.
Yeah.
And yourself, Will.
Thank you.
Give yourself a pat on the back. We worked together for a long, long time.
Yeah.
And you used to have Maria Whittaker, that's who I was.
Yes, that's right. The glamour model.
You used to have a huge stand there.
Yeah.
You know, doing copies, doing merchandise. And
that's
whatever.
Right.
You've come on the journey with us, really.
Yep.
You know, and then latterly Truck and Driver, and as I say, Transport News has always been on the boil.
Yep.
It isn't just our enthusiasm, and we used to have a lot of fun with it. You know, I think it broke the mold in many ways, because what the manufacturers had been used to was turning up to Hall 5 at the NEC. And portraying themselves in a certain way.
And paying a fortune.
Paying
a fortune.
But not realising how Truckfest worked. Initially, one or two of them got it, you know, dressed down a little bit and were a little bit more approachable. One or two of them didn't get it and would turn up in their suits, you know, with their ties on, and everybody would go past the stand and go, whoa, you know, can't go on there. But that changed over the years, and when you see the activities that go on the stands, I mean, we used to have the gladiators at Truckfest, and I remember DAF used to sponsor them, and we used to do a competition in the main arena with the gladiators, which was just a bit of fun, but the crowd loved it. You know, I see that as far as DAF's concerned this year, they've got Challenge Annika back, haven't they?
Oh, have they?
Yeah. So they've got that back this year. But they've become our friends, all of the manufacturers, you know. And it's a shame when they retire. You know, we've had one or two that retired. They've moved on now. And then we get new ones in. But it is a lovely feeling. And, you know, industry-related product as well. They're there. And they get something out of Truckfest as well. I think it's a great experience for everybody, actually.
Yeah, it's not just the experience, it's the fact that they can make contact at any level.
Yeah. Brian Weatherly had a wonderful quote, which we used many times.
We did.
And he said, it's an image booster for the road haulage industry. And that's absolutely true. And, you know, at the end of the day, that's what it's all about. And we try and have that as our mantra.
Yeah, Colin, you were talking about bringing young people into the industry,
and that is
the perfect opportunity.
Well, yeah,
these days kids can't go out with their dads like you did.
No,
so this is their chance to.
Absolutely, you've nailed it there. When Bob and I were kids, as I say, we used to both get excited about getting in the cab, in the passenger seat. You know, no seat belts or anything like that. In Bob's case, it was going down to London to the fruit and veg markets, wasn't it, Bob? With me, it was, you know, Dad would get, I'd go and we'd collect the truck, and we'd, as I say, it was sugar beet during the winter season and that sort of stuff. So we were very close to the whole thing then. My brother, he worked for one of the big haulage companies at the time, and he would come home and talk about where he'd been to. But yeah, getting involved is the big thing, and getting the youngsters to get close to to the trucks is we've got to do it somewhere. We've all got to do it. The industry's got to do it. We at Truckfest got to try and do it because they're the future. At Malvern last year, I wandered around Truckfest with my grandchildren, and they didn't know who I was. The drivers and competitors didn't know who I was. And I was around there, and I realised also that this was a new generation of drivers that's coming through at the moment. You know, there were a lot of them there with very young families. So we've got to keep that going somehow. We've somehow got to get people, more and more so now, to get behind a wheel, to get in a truck, to fall in love with the truck. That's the thing, to fall in love with it. I just hope that the trucks don't get too high-tech, and I just hope that regulations don't get too heavy to put them off. Because, of course, when our dads were around, there weren't all this. I know it's done for safety and everything else. And of course, I realise that. We've got to move with the times. I just hope it doesn't put too many people off.
And there are that many frustrations for drivers, you know, having to meet deadlines.
Yeah.
Anybody that drives on our roads will know it's so unpredictable. I always set off so much earlier than I need to set off, because you just don't know what you're, especially it's on somewhere like the M25. You know, you think you're ahead and you're actually not.
Yeah.
But they've still got their delivery times to meet. Yeah. It must be so frustrating.
Yeah, and the supermarkets, they set such rigid times for drivers. You know, you've got to be here at such and such a time. And even then, some of the product can still be rejected, which must be... you know, it really is difficult for them at times.
Yes.
Yeah.
We're just so lucky to 40 years of Truckfest. Yeah. It was 41 this year. It's been an absolute...
Did you miss any?
Sorry?
Did you miss any? COVID, you missed one, I think, didn't you?
No. We moved it. We moved it into the August bank holiday.
Yeah. Oh, you did. That's right, you did.
So we've not missed a single year, have we, Bob?
No. Not even weather?
No. Foot and mouth. We there was foot and mouth. We had to spray all the wheels.
I remember that.
Coming in.
Yes. And the manufacturers weren't able to take part.
That was 2001, I think, wasn't it?
Yeah. But the operator stepped up, and we ended up with a good show. Yeah. Mr. Manufacturer.
Yeah.
Manufacturers are great, because at the end of the day, you know, they've got the new product there.
Yeah.
The drivers who normally wouldn't have the time.
Yeah.
To go and see the new models and get the opportunity to do so.
Yeah.
And also, you know, it gives the manufacturers feedback.
Yeah.
So, you know, they can go and talk to the drivers can go and talk to the manufacturer and give them some feedback, which is really important.
And as we go forward, Will, you know, we're going to go through this evolution where fuel and energy is going to change completely differently. I mean, I'm sure that we're all aware that, you know, we can be driving behind, say, a McDonald's truck, and that'll say on it, generated by recycled oil, cooking oil. You know, so it's not just going to be electric trucks that's eventually going to be on our roads. It's going to be other forms of energy that's going to have to be captured, and we'll have to be seeing how trucks are going to be evolving over the next 5 years, 5-10 years.
I was with one of the manufacturers in when we went up to do our motorcycle show, and I met him at the showground, and he firmly believes it's going to be hydrogen. That's the only feasible way forward.
I think you're right.
Yeah, the manufacturers are split on this one. I think to begin with, it's going to be a bit of everything, isn't it?
It is a bit of everything. I mean, I was watching TV last night, and JCB were on, and Their revolution, as Bob said, hydrogen.
Yeah, and they're hydrogen combustion rather than hydrogen fuel cell. Yeah,
I believe that they're very big in the Far East on buses and everything out there. So that could be the way forward. We've got to do something, we've got to do something, and we've got to get cleaner energy working for us all somehow. Yeah. And I'm sure that all the manufacturers will be focusing on how this will evolve in the next 5 to 10 years. But that aside, you can't beat the roar of a big truck, can you?
No, that's right.
But it's very sad to be leaving Peterborough this year.
I was about to say, tell us how... I mean, there's been rumours that this is going to happen for years and years now, at least 10 years that I know of.
The showground at this time next year is going to be developed.
Yeah.
And, you know, there were no options at the end of the day. we had to find a new home. We found a superb new home, which is where we're sat at the moment, the Lincolnshire Showground. The facilities here are fantastic.
It's massive as well, isn't it?
It's absolutely massive. We don't like turning people away, which we have to do at the moment. Unfortunately, at Peterborough, what's happened is, since we first went there 40 years ago, on all three sides now, there's housing developments.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And, I mean, Peterborough's a growing city, and we appreciate their need to, you know, get greenfield sites like the Showground and turn it into housing. We appreciate that. We appreciate, we're a movable feast, and we're able to come to, as Bob said, a wonderful site like this. Other events from Peterborough have moved here, and we've long since looked at this venue. Times we've driven by it, and times we've driven into it, and said it would be fabulous to have Truckfest here. But there was no need at that time for us to do that. And then suddenly, this whole new development plan comes along. So here we are. And as Bob said, we've got plenty of space.
So that's the 3rd to the 6th of May 2024, isn't it?
Yeah. So it's the corresponding weekend
that
we would normally have, the May Day bank holiday. And we're really looking forward to, yes, we're looking forward to this year's Truckfest. It's going to be fantastic. It's going to be sad on the final day. But the reality is, the very need for that showground doesn't exist anymore.
No.
It's a little bit like the Royal Showground. Because in 2009, they stopped doing the East of England show. So the Agricultural Society have got a showground that they let to three or four big events. We are one of them. There's a motorcycle show and a motor caravan show as well. There's no need for it anymore. And I think what it is, they had a little bit of pressure from a developer, you know, and there was a need for more housing and facilities. So that's what's happened.
So what can people expect from this 40th year? What, anything special?
Well, there's lots of things that we are going to be doing there. There's one or two competitions that will relate to the last Truckfest at Peterborough. It really is a feel-good factor event. You know, we're going to concentrate in the main arena on stuff that's happened over the 40 years. Anybody that picks up a copy of the programme, you know, will see that we reflect those 40 years. And there's going to be one or two surprises as well.
Yeah. And also, what used to be the Sunday Monday show has developed now into Saturday Sunday Monday. We call the Saturday now Super Saturday, which enables visitors, day visitors, to turn up on the Saturday and stay late. And that means that they can stay and enjoy the live bands that we've got on and firework display and everything that goes with it. So we've extended the duration of the show. And that's something we're going to be bringing to Lincoln. That when we come up to Lincoln, it's going to be 3-4 day show. The beginning of the year, that's what the industry wants, and that's what, certainly what our drivers want.
It's the Glastonbury for road haulage.
Certainly is, Bob.
I like that, yeah.
Yeah.
Or crusts for trucks. But no, I mean, at the end of the day, the hauliers, the drivers, the manufacturers, fantastic, because at the end of the day, they've supported the event, they continue to support the event, and we've got some good friends out there.
Yeah. Literally, man and boy, if you think about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's like the way yourself, Will.
Like yourself, Will.
Yeah.
So, long may it carry on.
Oh, absolutely,
yeah,
Bob.
Definitely. Well, look, thank you guys very much, and I wish you the very best for this important year, and may the sun shine over Peterborough on the 29th of April to the 1st of May.
We've booked it.
Thank you, Will.
Cheers.
If you've been enjoying the Talking Trucks podcast, make sure you keep up to date with the latest news, legal advice, interviews and road tests with Commercial Motor Magazine, delivered direct to your door every week. Subscribe today for just £35 per quarter by visiting commercialmotor.com/podcast.